the freedom of the open road. The wind in your face, the roar of the engine. Whoa, except maybe the sudden realization that alcohol and two wheels don't mix. Even one drink can slow your reflexes and impair your judgment. On a motorcycle, that's the difference between cruising home or crashing hard. Ride smart, ride sober, or get pulled over. If you hit the bottle, don't roll the throttle. This message is brought to you by NHTSA.
AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com present the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
Now, here's Mark Bailey.
It is 8:06 in the morning. Good morning. I'm Mark Bailey, Mid-Columbia Today. It is a Tuesday, the 19th of August. Cameron Eisenberg is producing once again. And here's what we got for you today. First half of the show, Hood River County School District Superintendent Bill Newton's here. School year starts in Hood River Monday. Sorry, kids. I had to break it to you. That's where we are. Summer is coming to an end as far as the school year is concerned. We'll talk to Bill about what's coming up new. We'll ask if there's any bus route changes. I know you parents want to know that. And we'll also talk some about some things they did over the summer in regards with some facility tours we talked about back when the summer was getting started. So we'll do that first. Then Maryhill Museum of Art Executive Director Erin Behrens is going to be with us. And we're going to talk about a number of things they've got going on here, coming up here pretty soon. They've got a lot, again, number of events coming up. I'm just looking at a big list of them. So we'll let Amy tell you about that coming up after the bottom of the hour. But first, as we always do, let's tell you what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. This day in 1807, Robert Fulton's North River steamboat arrived in Albany, New York, 2 days after leaving New York City on its maiden voyage. 1812, the USS Constitution defeated the British frigate HMS Guerrero off Nova Scotia during the War of 1812, earning the nickname Old Ironsides. 1814, War of 1812 was still going on. British forces landed at Benedict, Maryland with the objective of capturing Washington, D.C. 1854, 31 U.S. soldiers were killed after one of the soldiers finally shot Brule Lakota Chief Conquering Bear, sparking the first Sioux War. 1909, Indianapolis Motor Speedway hosted its first automobile race. 1934, German voters approved the vesting of sole executive power in Adolf Hitler. 1955, torrential rains caused by Hurricane Diane resulted in severe flooding in the northeastern U.S., claiming some 200 lives. 1960, a tribunal in Moscow convicted American U-2 pilot Francis Gary Powers of espionage. Although sentenced to 10 years imprisonment, Powers was returned to the U.S. in 1962 as part of a prisoner exchange. 1980, 301 people aboard Saudia Flight 163 died as the jetliner made a fiery emergency return to the Riyadh airport. 2010, the last American combat brigade exited Iraq 7 years and 5 months after a U.S.-led invasion marked the beginning of the Iraq War. And 2013, South African sprinter Oscar Pistorius was indicted in Pretoria, South Africa, on charges of murder and illegal possession of ammunition for the shooting death of his girlfriend, Reva Steenkamp, at his home on Valentine's Day 2013. Pistorius maintained he'd mistaken her for an intruder. He'll be found guilty of murder and sentenced to prison. He was released on parole in January of last year. Days for today, it's International Bow Day. Didn't quite get clarification on what kind of bow we're talking about here, but there you go. For some unknown reason, it's National Talk Like Jar Jar Binks Day today. I'm not sure this will help you professionally in any way. International Orangutan Day is today. It's also National Aviation Day. National Sandcastle and Sculpture Day today. It's World Humanitarian Day, and it's World Photo Day today. We got some pretty good food and drink, or actually it's food days today. Well, I guess one is a drink if you get right down to it. First one today is National Potato Day today. One of our true staples. One of my personal favorites is National Hot and Spicy Food Day today. Bring it on. It's also National Soft Ice Cream Day today, and a bit related to that. Today is Black Cow Day. It's Root Beer Float Day. Some places know as a black cow. Some places just simply a root beer float. Either way, it works. And the summer, pretty good treat. Actually, a pretty good treat anytime. Coming up on 810, we'll talk Hood River County Schools. Bill Newton's with us right after this.
At the Springs at Mill Creek Assisted Living Community, we believe in living with purpose and enjoying life to its fullest. Nestled at 1201 West 10th Street, The Dalles, our community offers more than just a place to stay. Imagine dining on your schedule from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., choosing your meals from a full menu that suits your taste and lifestyle. Here, every day is an opportunity to thrive, connect, and embrace the joys of life. Discover a vibrant community where you decide how to spend your day. Visit the Springs at Mill Creek because your best life is waiting.
Summertime brings a variety of delicious fresh fruits, and Casa El Mirador turns them into fabulous margaritas. Bring your friends and dine outside on their patio and order a margarita or two, and experience why they were voted the best margarita in the Gorge for 3 years running. At Casa El Mirador, we use only the finest and freshest ingredients available for our extensive menu, ensuring every bite is a Mexican delight. Casa El Mirador, open every day 11 to 9 at 2nd and Weber in the Dow. See their menu and order online at casaelmirador.com.
In the heart of every love story lies a symbol of commitment, a promise that transcends time. Discover the essence of eternal love at J.D. Smith Jewelers. Our engagement rings are more than just diamonds and gold. They're whispers of forever, captured in every gleam and sparkle. Let us guide you in finding the perfect ring to express your love, your devotion, your forever. Visit J.D. Smith Jewelers today, where every ring tells a story of endless love and cherished moments. J.D. Smith Jewelers, where dreams become forever. Located at 121 East 2nd Street, downtown The Dalles. Begin your forever today.
DQ presents The Sound of Happy. Hear that? That's the DQ Chicken Strip Basket. Only $7.49 for a limited time. We're talking four 100% white meat seasoned chicken strips served with fries, Texas toast, and DQ signature country gravy. Yeah, you heard that right. For crunch time and no time, it can only be the DQ Chicken Strip Basket. Just $7.49 for a limited time. Get it delivered in the DQ app. Happy tastes good. At participating locations.
When you've got real work to do, metal supermarkets will help you get it done fast. With a huge variety of metals in stock, we can help no matter what job comes your way. And we cut to size. Because just like taxes and BS, we think metal is better when cut. Metal supermarkets, the convenient stores for metal. Find a store or shop online at metalsupermarkets.com.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
8:12 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Bill Newton, Hood River County School District Superintendent's here. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Mark.
Well, it's almost time, isn't it? Actually, it's already time because their teachers are there already, I assume. I assume they got there
yesterday. Yes, staff came back yesterday, and students come back next week.
All right. Yeah. Is it Monday when it starts? Or
Monday for some. Okay. So, you know, when we're talking about the start of school, it looks a little bit different. Like first through fifth graders will be at school on Monday.
Right.
Sixth grade will be there. But all the other grades, it kind of varies depending on their grade. And so what I would recommend is that our families who are listening, they go to our school district website. There's on the front page, it says news and events. Click on that, and that'll give you an update as far as things like start dates and times for your child's grade level. It'll give you information about supplies, bus routes, and so forth. So that'd be the best way to get that information.
And we should mention bus routes in particular. I assume there almost always are some changes made to the bus routes.
There are. And so I would just go to this website, and we have a nice link there for bus routes. It'll share, you know, what that looks like for your child. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
You know, I know enrollment, you never really know until you're about a month in or so, but
I was looking at it this morning, and so we're about 40 students fewer than we were last year at this exact time. So, and right now our enrollment's about 3,740 students.
So basically you're following the trend that you've been on.
We are.
We've talked about, of course, all the reasons for around here, from birth rate to cost of a young family trying to live here in the Hood River County area.
Yeah.
I mean, is it again kind of the drop at the early grades back end, or where are we seeing this?
It is. So we have, you know, like our 12th grade students, that enrollment with that class was over 300. Mm-hmm. And the incoming kinders are just over 200. And so as you see that, you know, those graduating students with higher numbers and lower numbers enrolling, it's just going to be something that we're going to have to factor in.
But having said that, I mean, you'll see changes over the next month. This is hardly a locked-in number at this point.
And so this is all projected based on, you know, families who have enrolled or registered. Come September, after 10 days of school, we do what's called a 10-day drop, which means those students who actually don't show up and attend, they are dropped, and then we know what our true enrollment will actually be looking like in the fall.
I also know you'll get surprises, too, students that you didn't expect, there they are.
No doubt.
Where does that trend tend to fall? Do you tend to lose or tend to gain, or does it all kind of balance out usually in the end?
In the fall, we actually, our numbers always start high, and then over time, like towards the end of the year, we have fewer students. That's just the typical trend that we see.
Is that because, obviously, you have students and there's migrant work that's involved here?
For sure.
Which actually lends to another question.
Yep.
Because of the current climate,
mm-hmm.
are you thinking you may see a drop in your enrollment in that sector?
Yeah, there's a possibility for sure with that. It's too early to say, but it'll be something that we'll be definitely be paying attention to. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you'll get started on over the course of the next week or so, getting underway. And of course, sports is already underway.
We know that.
Practices have been going on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's jump in, though, to facilities.
Yeah.
And down the road here a bit.
Yep.
Actually, before I get into that part of it, in the short term, and we touched on it before in June. I wasn't around to talk to you in July.
Yeah.
When people get to schools, are they going to see? I mean, there's always little projects and maintenance being done out there.
There are. You know, I would say a lot of it is polishing floors. I can say in some places we replace carpet. Like I can think of the Y.E.'s Library or the HRVHS music area. We place new carpets there. So, yeah, just where we're seeing, you know, there needs to be like replacing carpet, polishing floors, painting is often a thing that we're doing in order to be able to touch up walls and so forth. So, yeah, so I would say there were no like huge projects that we've perhaps done in the past, like replacing boilers or HVAC systems and those types of things. Yeah.
So, okay, now let's move on to longer term here. You've got a facilities committee going in preparation for a potential bond measure in a year or so.
Yep.
I know you told me at the start you were going to spend the summer touring as a committee.
That's correct.
All the school facilities,
yes. I mean,
not just obviously schools, but, you know, your transportation facilities, et cetera. So, you know, what did you see out there? What did you learn?
So it's been really good. So every month this summer, we basically hit three sites, like a school or a department setting and so forth. Like last week we hit Westside Elementary, we went up to Y.E.'s, and then we ended at May Street. And, you know, the things that I would say are, it's the, you know, this is summer, and so we really notice it is like HVAC. You know, it's hit and miss from school to school, room to room, different parts of the school and so forth. And so that is an area that we want to shore up, especially as we see it being hotter on the shoulder months, as well as, you know, we continue to provide summer school. And so HVAC is becoming more and more of an importance.
Well, I mean, I would assume like in a May Street, I would expect the HVAC to be in good, be good because you just built the thing.
Yes.
And I would suspect anything like even your Hood River Valley, your West Sides, et cetera, the quote younger schools. I would expect those HVACs to at least be in a serviceable position. I mean, there's always need for, you know, fixing, things like that.
There are.
But I would, your older buildings, I'm thinking about your Parkdales, et cetera.
And I would say, you know, like we think about Parkdale, parts of Parkdale just receive like a new HVAC system, but not the entirety of the school. So there are some classrooms without HVAC. And, you know, with that bond money that we had, we focus like at Parkdale on the south facing classrooms where they see more sun and heat and so forth. And so school or the classrooms that are on the south, or excuse me, on the north side, didn't get AC. And so things like that. There are gym spaces, cafeterias, like at Mid Valley or even at Westside, that do not have HVAC. And so those are things that, you know, we're taking a look at. Other things that we looked at, like, you know, athletic sites, especially in the summer, you're looking at irrigation, and we know that's an issue.
Yes, it is.
In our school district that we need to make improvements on. We had conversations about electrical improvements, even things like technology. Our all-call speakers in some schools aren't functioning as highly as we'd like them to. Again, flooring, paint. Even when you go from school to school, especially like this last week, we went to May Street as the last school, which is a new school. And it's quite a contrast going from there from, say, Y East, where you have mismatch chairs, desks, and so forth. And so it's just something that we want to consider as we're looking forward to potential bond in the fall of next year.
Of course, when May Street got built, you know, it reached a point where, you know, it didn't make sense to throw money more into renovation and maintenance because the money never didn't balance out anymore.
Yeah.
Are we nearing a point like that with some of the other schools?
Yeah, hard to say, but it is a conversation that this long-range facilities planning committee will have starting, you know, this fall and through the year as far as, like, you know, what is the longevity of our schools and do we continue to put money into these schools in order to be able to just – you know, modify, perhaps remodel and so forth, or is it more cost-effective in order to be able to think about, you know, building a school versus, you know, remodeling? So, but those are conversations that we'll have.
I'm interested to know, because I doubt anything you saw, I mean, I correct me if I'm wrong, probably surprised you because you're superintendent, you hear from people, you probably, you know, everybody throw, eventually everybody has their two cents that gets to you. But maybe as you observe the committee that isn't involved day to day. Do you think there was anything maybe that, that stood out to them, or maybe you, just judging from the way they reacted, surprised them?
I think, again, there are some things. I think I do also think that the people that are on the committee are pretty familiar with our schools.
They,
they're involved in our community. They are. But again, those things that I mentioned earlier, like HVAC, just flooring, you know, like you go to some schools and you have different flooring from classroom to classroom, hallway to hallway. There's nothing I don't think that really like threw people for a loop other than knowing that there's quite a difference between, say, like a school at May Street and which is new and our older schools. So,
You know, I at this, I mean, when you take everything into total, do you have any sort of financial at this point where you go, boy, in a perfect world, if we had all the resources we wanted to have and could do everything we wanted to do, how much this would cost?
I don't. I really don't.
I didn't think you were at that point yet.
No.
Because I imagine there's going to be a narrowing down process.
Oh, no doubt.
I'm pretty sure probably whatever you found is more than you can afford.
So part of this process has been involving doing priority lists for each of the schools. That involves like our maintenance and facilities director, Todd Rainwater, making a list of priorities. It also involves our principals, and then our committee will actually take a look at those and then also help prioritize what are our lists from top to bottom, from school to school.
You know, you're not the only school district going through this. In fact, actually, I would even go on a limb to say you're probably a better situation than many. Some of them are in this area. Or they can hear this show. Are we, though, to, you know, I always come back to this. You know, this, we always have the state argument about money for K-12 just in the classroom. But at some point, does the state of Oregon need to start to step in and look at the facilities far? I know there's the quote match of on building stuff, but I'll tell you what, it's not, as you know from the May Street project, the match is doesn't cover a whole lot. It's nice, but it's not, it hardly puts you over the top of a project.
No, but it is a nice incentive for sure. But yes, it is a problem, especially when you take a look at school districts east of here, smaller school districts. You have, you know, they just struggle to be able to pass bonds. And that is unfortunate because when you do take a look at, I would say, are school districts that are west of here, like in the Portland metro area, where more affluent areas, they are able to pass bonds. Therefore, they have schools that are upgraded, new schools, and so forth. And unfortunately, many of our school districts aren't able to do that. And that is inequitable.
Another question. This gets more to the local climate. We know that probably in November of 2026, City Hood River is going to go out for a bond measure. They're beginning that process. At some point, the Parks and Rec question of the swimming pool and however much deeper they want to go, that's going to come back. Hood River County, some sort of tax measure is possible.
Yeah.
Given what the sheriff came out with a month ago.
Yep.
I'm missing a couple. I have a suspicion here.
Yep.
Where does that enter into decision making?
That is part of the work, though, is making sure that we are in communication with our community partners, because we don't want to be saddling our community, our taxpayers, with burden. I would say all at the same time. So there is communication with our community partners to make sure that we're not all going out for a bond or a levy at the same time.
I guess I'm starting to see where, and I'm not disputing anybody's needs, but it's like, as you well know,
it can stack up.
It stacks up, and the pockets are only so deep for people.
Yeah.
So what's next then? I assume that now you've done the tours.
Yeah.
So,
well, we do have one more. So our next meeting in September is going to be out at Cascade Locks, because that is a school that we haven't toured. So we're going to tour Cascade Locks, and then we will actually have our meeting there. And then I would say this fall is going to be having conversations about our priority list, trying to whittle those down. And then also have a conversations around bonds and what could those potential rates look like. And then start developing a proposal to take to the board, I would say, in June of 2026. And then see whether or not, we're in a place at that point in time to move forward with a potential bond in the fall of 2026 or not. It kind of depends on, economy, market, what the bond rates are. There's a lot of what ifs, but we'll at least put ourselves in a position to be prepared to move forward when and if that time comes.
Can I get to one other thing I just thought of here before I let you get away, and that is, I had on last week, during the course of the week, I had on Hood River County Commission Chair Jennifer Ewer, Administrator Allison Williams, next day an Emergency Management Director Charles Young.
Yeah.
And they had had a meeting the days before with ODOT. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if the school district was involved in it.
No.
It involved emergency planning and involved transport. Kind of the crux of the meeting was something when you have a Rowena fire and the freeway detours, we become gridlocked.
Yep.
But ODOT then talked a lot about, if the transportation package that comes up here in a week or so doesn't work out, everything that they're not going to do. And it involved plowing. Highway 35 was involved. Yeah. Highway 26 was involved.
Yeah.
I-84 was involved. And the first thing I thought of actually was, if this is what they do, the number of school cancellation days is going to skyrocket.
Yeah, there's
here.
Potential for that. We do rely on our community partners. We rely on the city and the county and ODOT to plow roads, highways, and all of that. And so we communicate in the mornings, how that is going and so forth with those partners to make sure that we can run our buses safely. And so if they're not able to, one, receive funding in order to be able to do that work, at the level that needs to, then it's going to be problematic for us in the winter months.
Well, it makes me wonder about this a little bit. And again, this may never come to pass. I want to point this out. But if something doesn't pass in the next week or so, and they follow through with this, whether this is posturing or whether it is actual fact, you've always kind of the policy of as a school district predates you. Because you have so many different climates. You have Parkdale, the Cascade Locks,
correct,
all sorts. This really impacts you maybe more than any other school district I can think of.
Yeah.
And you've always kind of gone with, it's good for simplicity. Across the board, this is what we're doing.
Correct.
Do you have to think about adjusting that philosophy if we get to that point?
I don't think we would. And the reason is because, as I mentioned before, it's a one high school school district. Mm-hmm. And so if we were to, you know, close, say, Cascade Locks,
right,
then our students from Cascade Locks would not be able to attend HRVHS for that day, and that's not fair. Or, but, say, Parkdale.
But
you know.
I think you also can see the other side of this, where you've got people going, hold it, and you get this already.
Yeah.
It's just, at this point, it's under control, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, hold it. We can all get to school down here.
Yeah.
Let's get those schools open and let's move on.
Uh-huh.
And we'll deal with it. We'll catch them up as we go. Which,
sure.
I'm sure you hear that already from people.
Oh, we do.
You know?
Yeah.
But I'm just, you know, under the current setup, I understand it beautifully.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I mean, if you know, and I hope that this is all either they need to pass a transportation package.
Yeah.
Do it, okay, number
correct.
One. Number two is, though, if it does come to pass, I mean, again, if we have any kind of winter, this is going to be a nightmare on this for your end.
Yeah.
It's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, it'll make it more challenging for sure.
So anyway, we'll see. Again, hopefully next week in that special session, this line of questioning is just irrelevant.
Exactly.
And
that's
move
our
on.
Hope. Yeah.
8:30 in the morning. Bill, thanks for doing this.
Thank you, Mark.
And we'll come back with the news after this.
Attention firearms enthusiasts and Second Amendment advocates. Are you ready to take your shooting experience to the next level? Look no further than Gorge Guns, your premier destination for all things firearms. At Gorge Guns, we pride ourselves in being more than just a gun shop. We are a community of passionate gun owners and experts dedicated to providing you with top-notch products and unmatched expertise. Picture this, a store stocked with the latest and greatest firearms from the most trusted brands in the industry. Whether you're a seasoned marksman or a first-time buyer, our knowledgeable staff are here to guide you through every step of the process. But wait, there's more. At Gorge Guns, we are not just about selling guns. We offer a wide selection of suppressors, accessories, ammunition, and safety gear to ensure you have everything you need for a safe and enjoyable shooting experience. It's all at Gorge Guns in our new location, 1040 Tucker Road in Hood River. Gorge Guns, the best little gun shop in the Gorge.
Hey, it's Mike Rowan. If I have a choice, I like to do business with companies that actually stand for something. That's why I switch from Verizon to Pure Talk. No offense to Verizon, I'm sure they stand for something. I just don't know what it is. Pure Talk, on the other hand, is a veteran-owned company that supports our military in a big way, and I appreciate that. Yeah, I also appreciate unlimited talk and text and plenty of data for half the cost of the big guys, and I do like being on America's most dependable 5G network for just $20 a month, but what I really appreciate is no contract, no cancellation fees, and Pure Talk's commitment to handle all their customer service in this country. I saw it for myself. I went to Georgia, I got a tour of their headquarters, I met their CEO, and I talked to the same customer service folks that you'll talk to when you dial #250 and say keyword micro. Switch today and save 50% off your first month when you dial #250 and say keyword micro. Pure Talk. A wireless company that actually stands for something.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
8:32 in the morning. Amy Behrens from Maryhill Museum of Art coming up with us. But first, let's take a look at what's in the news. The state of Oregon joined a lawsuit challenging the Trump administration's slashing of funds for the Victims of Crime Act. Attorney General Dan Rayfield announced the lawsuit on Monday. Rayfield accused the federal administration of trying to use victims of crime as a political tool to carry out what he called an incredibly unpopular political agenda. He added the lawsuit is about keeping shelters open for survivors of domestic violence who need a safe space to sleep at night. The loss of the federal funding has affected more than 100 agencies and organizations in the state that help victims of domestic violence, child abuse, and sex trafficking. Police all across Oregon will begin a two-week mission to crack down on drivers not using seatbelts. Through August 31st, police will engage what they're calling a safety belt overtime blitz, along with a car safety campaign that reminding the public about the laws on the books and the safety reasons behind them. Police agency cited statistic that nearly half of the people killed in car crashes in the U.S. in 2023 were not buckled in. The Dallas Public Works Department painting the center and sidelines on streets throughout the community beginning actually, they're doing it now. It'll be through Thursday. They begin at 6 in the each morning, weather permitting. Motorists asked to watch for the crews, avoid driving on the wet paint. The truck is preceded and followed by warning vehicles with signs calling attention to the wet paint. The trucks will be spaced according to the necessary drying time of the paint. Officials say Oregon's largest tree, a 326-foot Douglas fir east of Coquille in Coos County, has been on fire since Saturday. The blaze has severely damaged the tree and caused a 50-foot-long section to crash to the ground. The fire initially reported to authorities just before 2 Saturday afternoon. It's been contained to the single tree, according to Brett Weidemiller, an assistant unit forester with the Coos Forest Protective Association. As of yesterday, firefighters were still weighing how to best extinguish the flames, which swept to the very top of the giant tree. The weather, well, it's going to be sunny today, highs in the 80s in the most part. West winds 15 miles per hour, could be gustier in the eastern part of the gorge. 63 degrees right now in both the Dalles and Hood River. It's 8:34 in the morning, and more on Mid-Columbia Today right after this.
Hello, this is Dr. Stanley of Cascade Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Knee sprains are common this time of year. A common sprain of the knee should resolve in 6 to 8 weeks. If you have symptoms longer than 8 weeks, or if you have symptoms of instability, repeat swelling, or catching, something worse is likely to be the culprit. Protect your active lifestyle and come in and have it evaluated. Visit cosmc.org or call 541-296-2294. Cascade Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, where our goal is getting you back to being you.
Hi, it's Melissa at Del Carpine Automotive. You know how long 10 minutes is? It's how long it takes me to wrangle my dog into the car most days. Yep. It's also how close we are to our old location. We are now neighbors to Adopt-A-Dog. Just a quick drive up the hill. Same team, same top-notch service, and a bigger space to handle all makes and models. Have you been putting off getting the scheduled maintenance done on your vehicle? Come see us. At Del Carpine Automotive, no job is too big or too small. We work on them all, and we are family-owned and Columbia Gorge strong.
DQ presents The Sound of Happy. Hear that? That's the DQ Chicken Strip Basket. Only $7.49 for a limited time. We're talking 4 100% white meat seasoned chicken strips served with fries, Texas toast, and DQ signature country gravy. Yeah, you heard that right. For crunch time and no time, it can only be the DQ Chicken Strip Basket. Just $7.49 for a limited time. Get it delivered in the DQ app. Happy tastes good. At participating locations.
When you've got real work to do, metal supermarkets will help you get it done fast. With a huge variety of metals in stock, we can help no matter what job comes your way. And we cut to size. Because just like taxes and BS, we think metal is better when cut. Metal supermarkets, the convenience stores for metal. Find a store or shop online at metalsupermarkets.com.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
Amy Behrens joins us now, the Executive Director and CEO at the Mary Hill Museum of Art. Good morning, Amy.
Hey, good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for being on the show. We do appreciate it. And a lot of things going on out there right now. And one of which is, I think we talked about this when you were last on the show, but there is a large-scale mural out there on view that it depicts the Columbia River Gorge maybe a little different way. Just tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. Well, Vista Vista, like you said, it's a large-scale mural, and it takes a look at our landscape through a more abstract digital lens. It's a really different and a new way to see the landscapes outside. You know, we're known for our historical landscapes, and you can see those on view in our current exhibition, Capturing Light, 350 years of European and American painting. But this mural that's created by Portland-based artist and educator Damian Gilley is just such a neat, unusual, and frankly, a really photogenic, you know, if you're standing next to it, way to capture our incredible, profound beauty of the gorge.
Now, he uses graphic abstraction. And I think maybe you told me what this was, and I don't have the memory to remember. So when we say graphic abstraction, what is he doing?
Well, he is interpreting the landscape through a series of lines and shapes. You think about it, when you're a child, for instance, and you're working with rectangles, triangles, circles, you know, these basic polygonal shapes, he's creating a really dynamic landscape using these basic elements and really sharp one color at a time, rather than blending and trying to make something photographically real.
And so this is going to be on view through the 15th of November, right?
Yes, that's right. It's on view in our education center, and it's really got an unbelievable setting because you can enjoy the mural, and then you can look right outside and have the gorge right in front of you.
I just didn't know, this is going to be on exhibit through November 15th. We're talking about a large, and how big is this mural when we say large scale?
Well, it covers the entire, one of our largest walls in the MJ Murdoch Charitable Trust Education Center, which is a gathering space that we use for our exhibitions, but also talks and workshops. In fact, the Husky Scholastic Chess Tournament is taking place in that education center on September 20th, and that's one of the educational programs that we host here for students in the Gorge.
What I was going to ask, though, was... So when this no longer is on exhibit, where does a mural like this go? I mean, this isn't your standard put the painting into storage sort of situation, obviously.
No, it's only on view temporarily. And after that, we repaint the education center so that it's fresh for our upcoming exhibition. So you can only see this in a short window of time.
Wow, okay. So that's going to be on view through the end of your season, the 15th of November. I know a lot of people like to walk around here, and I guess when I think Maryhill Museum and where you are, I don't necessarily think flat, easy to navigate walking, but it turns out you've got that, don't you?
We do. In fact, we have over a mile of walking paths that are flat, paved, and they go around our entire museum campus here in the area where people can park and enjoy the view and enjoy the art. And we found, actually, when we were working with AccessibleGorge.com and talking to local hospitals, that we're one of the only places where you have that flat, easy outdoor access in the East Gorge. Once you go east of the Dalles Riverfront Trail and maybe the paved part of Catherine Creek, you really don't have a lot of resources, and especially that's a challenge for people who use mobility aids. And so we've really come to invest in that part of our museum and the outdoor parts to make that space for people.
Mm-hmm. And you've got plenty of art to view, I believe, and people take that walk.
That's right. And in fact, we just completed a major capital project with a walking path that connects our East Campus and West Campus and goes through and around the William and Catherine Dixon Sculpture Park. We rededicated the Sculpture Park on August 7th with those new walking paths, new benches, a new entry landscaping that's just really welcoming and invites people in to see the outdoor art, and importantly, a new sculpture from Hood River-based artist C.J. Wrench. And so it's a great place to go. It doesn't cost anything for people to come in the museum grounds and walk around the sculpture park or around the campus and enjoy the art and the views.
And that's open, it looks like, every day from 10 to 5.
Yes, that's right.
A lot of things going on at Maryhill, as I mentioned, as you head into the latter part of the summer. You've got, it looks like, a couple of drop-in tours coming up, not this Saturday, I believe it is, but I think the next two Saturdays. The 30th and the 6th.
That's right, yep. Yep, the first and last Saturday of every month. And they're 30-minute tours. You can drop in or you can leave the tour at any time. But it's just a great way for people who haven't visited in a while to familiarize themselves with the collections or just to learn something new.
And so those are available August 30th and September 6th. Is there a particular time for those?
Those usually take place at 1:30 p.m. and they depart from the visitor services desk. Mm-hmm.
Also on September 6th, you've got one of your bigger, maybe I don't know if it is your biggest fundraising event, but it's got to be right up there. You've got your fundraising gala, and your theme is Echoes of the Gorge.
That's right. Yep, September 6th, and we're raising money for our exhibits, our upcoming programs. Next year is the centennial of our dedication by Queen Marie, and there are some of us still here in Wasco and Klickitat counties that have grandparents or great-grandparents that were present at that dedication ceremony. So I think it's going to be a really special anniversary for the Gorge overall. But we raise money for that, and we're also raising money for access to the museum. We give away quite a bit or subsidize quite a bit of ticket revenue every year as part of several partnerships, both here locally and nationwide, to make sure that everyone who wants to be inspired can come.
And so if people would like to come to the gala, how do they do that? I mean, I would assume you've got tickets available in some manner?
Yes, we have some tickets available. There are not too many at this point in time, but we do have just a couple tables left. And you can go get tickets at maryhillmuseum.org/gala if you'd like to join us. We also have sponsorships available, and we have some really wonderful Pacific Northwest and right here in the Gorge, businesses that are sponsoring this year's event. Mm-hmm.
You've also got coming up, I'm not going to mention the date here. I think the date I've got written down here is in error, but you've got something called Local Love Saturday.
Yes, Local Love Saturdays. This is new for the museum, but this is the second Saturday of every month, this September, October, and November. And we want to give back to locals here in the Gorge. And so if you live in a 50-mile radius of the museum on those Local Love Saturdays, you're going to get 30% off your ticket. And that's underwritten by a local business here, because we want people who live here and who have made their Maryhill memories, whether on a field trip or a family picnic or a wedding, to come back and see what's new. I mean, really, the view is the same, but everything else changes.
And I'll maybe kind of tie on to that a little bit here. And then also, you've got a program with the libraries in the area.
Yes. This is a fantastic program, and we want more people to know about this, honestly. We partner with all of the library systems in the region, so Libraries of Eastern Oregon, Fort Vancouver Regional Libraries, Richland Public Libraries, Yakima Library System. And so with all of these libraries that are participating, and for instance, Libraries of Eastern Oregon covers from Hood River way out to Eastern Oregon. So if you're listening to this program, you are most likely, you belong to a library that is part of what we partner with. All you have to do is go to the library and check out a museum pass for Maryhill Museum of Art. Free with your library card, and you just take that museum pass to Maryhill Museum of Art, and you can visit for free any day of the week. Mm-hmm. It's really a fantastic way to visit the museum, to make it accessible, and we really want more people to take advantage of this, because there's so much to see, and there's so much extraordinary human creativity here, combined with the views that we have of the Columbia Gorge. But it's really would be a shame not to take advantage of this incredible partnership we have with our libraries.
You mentioned the high school chess tournament going on September 20th. September 27th, you have a couple of different things going on.
September 27th? Yes, that's the last Saturday of the month. And so typically the last Saturday of the month, we have a Wasless basket weaving workshop. And then we also have one of those drop-in tours that we offer. Mm-hmm.
And then in October, the first weekend, I know this is popular, you've got the automobile show, and of course this all circles around Maryhill Loops Road.
That's right. Yes, Maryhill Loops Road was the first paved road in the state of Washington, and really the prototype for what became the Columbia River Highway on the Oregon side. And Concord and Maryhill, held on Maryhill's Grand Lawn, is just a really fantastic automobile show, super well attended. Beautiful setting. It's a really fun day. I've enjoyed attending, and I know it's going to be even bigger this year.
I know. I think you've got the cars. They traverse the Loops Road, if I remember right.
We have an open drive for a couple of hours on the day of Concord and Maryhill, and then you can see a special group of vintage cars go up and down Loops Road that Sunday right after the Concord itself.
I do recall, I don't know if Maryhill, you still do this anymore out there, but if I remember right, there was a point where, and it wasn't necessarily the weekend of this event, but I want to say skateboarders, and they had a competition up there where they were going down that thing at speeds that I certainly would not do. Do we still have the are the daredevils still out there?
Yes. Oh, yes. Maryhill Rats are still strong. They take over Loops Road the last weekend of April and then Labor Day weekend in September. And I know they encourage spectators who'd like to see it. And so if you want a thrill, Labor Day weekend, definitely go out to Maryhill Loops Road and see them skateboarding. It is amazing.
Yeah, I wouldn't suggest people take their skateboard out and do it themselves, but these guys kind of know what they're doing, I guess.
No, yeah. You can definitely watch them. Bring your museum pass from the library. Come and visit Maryhill Museum of Art. And, you know, then enjoy some late lunch at our cafe, or head over to Maryhill Winery next door and try the tasting flight inspired by our current mural.
Mm-hmm. So, again, Maryhill Museum of Art, you guys will be open till November 15th, I do believe.
That's right, yes. We will be open until November 15th, and we encourage people to come participate in the gala to help us cover all of those wonderful ticket programs that we offer. Or just take advantage of this ticket program. It's worth the drive, and we've been open for 85 years now. Mm-hmm. So there's something new to see, and we want to show local love to people here in the Gorge.
And we should note that, of course, you've got the website available that people can get all this information at.
That's right. You can visit us at maryhillmuseum.org, or you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, or LinkedIn at Maryhill Museum.
Amy Berenson with us, Executive Director, CEO of Maryhill Museum of Art. Amy, thanks for doing this. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much again for having me. Have a great day.
Have a great day. It's 8:50 in the morning on MCT. We will come back and begin wrapping up the show right after this.
Hey, it's Crash Gladys from Speed Freaks. Are you still paying full price for gas? Stop leaving money behind. Get real cash back every time you fill up with the free Upside app. Simply download the free Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and start earning cash at the pump today. Use limited time promo code ADULT and get an extra 25 cents back per gallon on your first fill up. Listeners are making $200 to $300 a year just from buying the gas they already needed. Don't wait. Download the free Upside app now and use promo code ADULT to redeem your 25 cent per gallon bonus. That's promo code ADULT. Yeah, at first I thought it was too good to be true, but it's completely legit. Plus, you can cash out anytime. Don't let this offer drive on by. Download the free Upside app now by using limited time promo code ADULT. That's promo code ADULT for a limited time 25 cents per gallon bonus. Offers vary by user and location. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
Bring the beauty of nature into your home with DeWills Cabinetry's new paint color palette. A stunning collection inspired by the serene, restorative hues of the great outdoors. From earthy tones to vibrant hues, these colors create spaces that feel calm, harmonious, and timeless. Explore the new collection and discover the perfect shade for your home at Adams Design Center, home of DeWills Cabinets at 319 East 2nd Street in the Dalles, or visit us online at adamsdesigncenter.com.
I am Christine Douglas. I work here in patient services at Skyline Health. My main job is registration and answering any questions our patients have. I know when people are here, they're here because they're in pain and they need help. At Skyline, we treat every patient as an individual. I'm here to serve because these are my people, my friends, my kids, and my neighbors. I'm reminded every day of how lucky I am to work in such a close, caring, and beautiful community. I am Skyline.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
And it is now 8:53 in the morning on Mid-Columbia mornings. I always find it very interesting that some people, they develop, we just heard a commercial, it's on one network commercials, Crash Gladys. You know, if I'm thinking about motorsports, I'm in a car, I don't want to travel with somebody named Crash, okay? That just doesn't seem to fit for me. If you're into motorsports, you may know who that person is. The person may be very talented. I don't know. But Crash. I'm not a motorsports person. My dad's a big stock car race fan. My dad grew up in the 60s, so in California, and he had a lot of cars. He's been getting rid of some of them here lately, but a lot of cars. I just never shared that. I never had that particular bent. But anyway, we should tell you some things that are coming up in the area. We can tell you that downtown White Salmon, third Thursday. Live music and performances and artists in market, the Kula Chiropractic and Kiklikatat Pottery Parking Area, 5 to 9. The band will be the Growlers on Thursday. Families in the Park, of course, continue through the month of August. 7 o'clock in the evening, Jackson Park and Hood River, presented by the Hood River Lions Club and the Gorge Community Foundation. And this Thursday features Conjunto Alegre. The Dallas Arts Center exhibit opening celebration for RISIS, a Hispanic Heritage Celebration. That'll be 4 to 8 Friday at the Center on 220 East 4th in the Dalles. Live music by Los Renegados. Food vendors highlighting Hispanic cuisine, Hispanic dancing horses, community and cultural booths, hand-on activities for children. It's a free event. The exhibit will be open itself through September 27th. Also, Overdose Awareness Walk and Resource Fair. One Community Health is doing this at 9 o'clock in the morning. On Saturday, they'll have the walk begin and end at the clinic on 1040 Weber Street in the Dalles. A resource fair afterwards will feature treatment and recovery options, housing and employment support, medical, dental, and mental health care resources, community groups and services, and Narcan education, overdose response training. And one more thing we'll mention, trying to get someone on from Wonderworks tomorrow. I just haven't heard from anybody yet. Wonderworks Children's Museum of the Gorge, their big Touch-A-Truck event and fundraiser is at 9:30 in the morning to 12:30 in the afternoon Saturday outside Wonderworks on 206 Madison in the Dalles, kind of around the corner from our studios in the Dalles. They're going to have fire trucks, emergency vehicles, tow trucks, dump trucks, military vehicles, excavators, bucket trucks, and more. It's a free community event, but donations are welcomed. And let's face it, your kids, your young kids will love climbing around in these vehicles. So check that out at Wonderworks Saturday morning. It is 8:56. We'll wrap it up after this.
The threat of wildfire poses a growing risk to Oregonians. And recent wildfires have provided some important lessons. You can prepare now by taking three important steps. Step one. Contact your insurance company to make sure you have the right amounts and types of coverage. Step 2. Create a home inventory by taking photos or videos of your possessions in each room of your home. Step 3. Gather and make copies of important identifying and financial documents. Store them in the cloud or another secure location. These three actions can help you and your community be more resilient in the face of wildfire. Be wildfire ready by being insurance ready. Visit dfr.oregon.gov/prepare now to learn how. This message brought to you by the Oregon Division of Financial Regulation, the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show. On the Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, and News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital. Just about done Mid-Columbia Today this morning. Tomorrow on this program, we are scheduled to talk to White Salmon Valley School District Superintendent Rich Polkinghorne. That'll be in the second half of the show. Of course, White Salmon Valley Schools also are getting ready to get things started for themselves. In fact, they may even have an earlier start, but I am not sure on that. I think actually it is next week. I am just so out of touch anymore when schools open. I don't have to worry about that anymore. I know when the football season starts. That's hardly a barometer of when a school starts. Thursday, we're still kind of in that TBD mode, to be determined, but Friday we'll talk with Central Gorge Master Gardeners to wrap up the week and send me off to a vacation. Marty Dane will be here next week to talk to you. I am done, though, for this morning. For Cameron Eisenberg producing, I'm Mark Bailey. Thank you for being with us. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 888-786-1511. Thanks for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
Is it that time?